It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramco, long time Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
Fantabula Seafood Shed, and they are serving food as we speak.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised to find the studio open tonight. Looked like everything else was supposed to be closing down.
Man, they shut down everything, you know.
Well, we're less than 10 people here. Just three.
Less than 10 people. That's okay, right. Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, since we just finished wiping down the control room.
Right.
Kevin, should the guys detailing our cars and at the car wash, and if we do it ourselves, should we be sanitizing the inside of our vehicles? I'm assuming the outside's taken care of.
Well, you know, as long as you're not rubbing all over the outside, you know, unless you're washing it, you should be fine. But, you know, it's
I didn't mean to put you on the spot with no research.
No, but I mean,
you did it on purpose.
And what we do, you know, we get to thinking about this a lot. I mean, we've always put seat covers, floor mats in the car. But we've started using, steering wheel covers, you know, because that's something you grip hold to all the time. You know, we're touching key fobs and we're touching shift knobs and all this kind of stuff all the time. We're trying to wipe all that down or at least, you know, keep our hands clean and washed and, you know, disinfected at all times. You know, it's just hard, you know, if you're out there doing business, it's hard not to touch things, you know.
Absolutely.
It is. But, you know, I've talked to some of the restaurants and some of the restaurant owners and all, and like the guys over at Ed's and all. And I said, but, guys, what are you doing? He said, we got people that's not doing anything but wiping everything down.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, all of our silverware is steamed.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so you can't have any bacteria there. And then it's wrapped in napkins.
And they need to be telling their
all
customers
of our dishes
about that.
Are steamed, all of our glasses are steamed, and all the restaurants are doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise people may stay away.
Well, even, you know, I go over to the Waffle House a lot and made McDonald's and drink coffee and all over there. And they're constantly wiping. Everything they've got over there's got bleach and Clorox in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they wipe it everything down. They wipe it every 45 minutes, they're wiping down the menus again, you know,
because
they have the plastic covers. So, I think everybody's doing the best they can.
Right.
And we just have to keep our head and just, you know, don't go crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, just use common sense. Don't go crazy. You don't have to go buy, you know, 4 truckloads of toilet paper and, you know, and 17,000 boxes of wipes.
I'm an old guy. I run freight lines and run truck lines and all for years before I got involved in all this automotive stuff. But I also learned a lot about automotive and maintenance repair and all during all of those years that I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you're going to run out of trucks. We're not going to have enough trucks to haul. Let me tell you something. When the president named that and called it a national emergency, that relieved all of these truck lines and everybody that works under restrictions for hours that they can drive and how much they can do in a 5 or 7 day period. They can only work 5 days or whatever in so many hours. All that's gone to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
So the guys that were delivering one load or two loads a day, they're going to be delivering 4 or 5. And as long as these plants are producing that product, we're not going to be without.
Right.
Yeah, we got without the other day because we had this calamity. Everybody, you know, everybody's trying to buy everything. I saw a lady that thing had, she had 5 containers of like 12 rolls of toilet tissue.
Right.
I thought, wow. Woo, what y'all going, all y'all got diarrhea?
Somebody sent me a cartoon. And it was a van with a guy driving it, and on the side of it, it says, free toilet paper for everyone. Elect me.
Elect me.
forget the chicken and everything.
A friend of mine sent me a text last night. and said, well, I can't say the word, but it said toilet paper is on the way. Mm-hmm. And it showed a big tractor and trailer. It had this big trailer, and it had the toilet paper and all on it with the bears and everything.
Yeah. Right.
And sitting inside of it was the bandit car. paper is on the way.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
It wasn't Coors beer this time.
Right, yeah. Right. They're bootlegging it now.
Yeah, they're bootlegging poop paper.
I can see it. I can see a movie sequel.
Can't you see that?
Yeah.
Yep.
I liked it cracked up. I said, oh, my God, somebody.
Loaded up and trucking.
Yeah, well, loaded up and trucking, baby. Yeah.
People going crazy over bottled water and just, you know, come on, guys. It's not going to quit running out the faucet.
Hey, I want to release a hidden secret heretofore unknown to the public.
Oh, really?
Drinking water out of the tap is not going to hurt you.
Right. Believe it or not, you can.
It won't kill you.
Yeah.
It's got chlorine in it. Yeah.
Right.
That's going
to
kill a bunch of stuff right there.
Yep. We got Dave from Gulf Shores. At least the gas is cheaper. Of course, it's too bad we can't go anywhere.
Right.
We're not allowed to travel.
We got a lot of cheap gas, but we can't burn it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And if that gas keeps backing up, it'll be down to 50 cents a gallon before long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is until that this little deal blows through here in 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks, and then the stock market comes back up, and –
America will be great.
Russia
again.
And Saudi Arabia quits fighting over the oil prices over there, and they get the oil back up to about $50, $60 a barrel, and gas prices are going to go up to $2.50 a gallon.
Which is affordable.
And then they'll start fracking again when the oil deal, and we'll have plenty of oil, and then it'll come back down, and we'll be rocking and rolling by election time.
Right. Yeah, everything will be good. You know, we'll get through it. I mean, it's just
ain't nothing just, but a
everybody
thing.
Got to keep their heads on their
keep
shoulders.
Keep you cool. Keep your head.
Keep you cool. Yeah.
Don't go crazy.
It ain't the end of the world.
Right. It ain't the end
fine.
Of the world. Let's keep on moving.
It will be good.
Yeah.
But we are still servicing cars out of UJ Chevrolet, believe it or not.
Well, you know, that was one of the other things I was wondering. What's that going to do to, you know, you guys can't have 50 employees or how does, you know?
Well, and we're kind of right there on that line, you know, but – we're probably a little over if everybody's there at one time, you know, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, and it's not only the people that work there, it's how many customers we have going.
Right.
This downtime might be a time to get those repairs done that you've been putting off.
Right, and it's so true, yeah.
So it's we're still there working. They're still up front selling cars. We still got a good inventory. So, you know, get out. Yep. What else you got to do?
Oh yeah, they'll just bring her car over in the morning, so I'll be able to pick her up, and take her to get her other car. So
yeah. But it's life goes on. You got to keep chugging. Yeah,
sure, so. That is so true.
But just have to be careful and watch for signs and. You know, do what you got to do.
There you go. All right. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's got questions about an automobile or automobile problem or, you know, something that they think we might be able to handle or the car doctor can anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll sit over here and shut my mouth then.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're obviously still staying pretty busy in the shop. You know, there's always new challenges every day. You know, that's, I guess, why I have a job, because there's always something new coming along. You know, they've got new technologies coming out every day.
If it's mechanical, it's going to break.
Right.
Some of it is going to wear out. Some of it is going to break. Some of it's going to be mishandled or abused, and it's going to break it, and you're going to have to fix it.
Right.
That's why you make the big bucks, baby.
Yep. Well, you know, people all the time say, I just bought this thing and it shouldn't be broke or it shouldn't do this, it shouldn't do that. It's like, well, if every car that was sold, it never broke, then I wouldn't have a job and they wouldn't bother to building that shop behind the
No, that'd be a waste of money.
Yeah, so.
It's funny, though, every dealership has one.
Yeah, that's why you have a warranty on your vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
To take care of it when something does happen.
The manufacturers know you're going to have a problem. Something's going to happen.
Things happen.
You know?
Yeah. Nothing, you know, nothing's ever perfect. Yeah,
but you also have to remember that one part that you had to go bad, there was only 28 million of them made
Right, right. We do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes.
Yes, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I got an E350 Ford van. I put a Ford rebuild transmission in it a year and a half ago, and the transmission still giving me trouble. It got a 3-year, 100,000-mile warning with it.
Right.
But okay, the two things going on. When it's real cold, when I put it in the drive, start to go dead, and then I had to put it in neutral until it warms up. I guess the transmission fuel warms up, then it will shift fine.
Yeah. Now the motor stalls, or?
No, the motor was stalled when I tried to put it in drive or something.
Right.
To take off, but after the transmission and the engine warms up, it shifts fine.
Right. Well, and that may not be the transmission. You know, that could be something drivability with the motor. You know, you're going to have to get it to them and let them check it. Yeah, I would take it to the Ford place and let them hook to it and see what it's doing. But, you know, that could very easily be something with the motor itself.
Leave it overnight.
Yeah. But also with the transmission, it won't shift in the drive. You got to start in second gear until it shifts. I got to shift it standing ways and get up from RPM, then put it in the drive, then it takes off. But
right.
When it's cold, it does that too on the transmission.
Yeah. Sounds like you need to get it back to the Ford place and leave it overnight. Let them drive it cold. And if they say, you know, it's doing everything it's supposed to do, leave it the next night. Go over there and tell them, don't crank it till I get there, and go out there and get one of them to ride with you, you know, and show them exactly what it's doing. Yeah. That's the first thing you got to do in repairing any vehicle. You got to make it break first. So if it works great when it's hot, you can't just run through there in the middle of the day and say, hey, my transmission acts up when it's cold. I need you to check it now. You know, because it's going to check good. It's working. So you need to.
That's what I know. It works fine when you get warm.
Right,
but
right.
When it first start off, I check my water, I check my transmission fuel, and everything's right in it.
Right, right. Yep. So it definitely sounds like you need to get it there and let them check it when it's cold. Yeah. And
I just replaced the transmission one time on the warranty.
Yep.
Something was stuck. Called the transmission fuel to blow back out as the when you refill it.
Right, right.
And they had to give me another one. And this here sounds like it must have trash in there, son.
Yeah.
Inside the transmission.
It could be. So, I would definitely get it to them. Let them check it for sure. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. But it looks like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
When there's no one there beside me, till I hold you once again. Thank God for the radio. When I'm on the road, when I'm far from home, feeling blue. Thank God for the radio, playing all night long, playing all the songs that mean so much to me and you.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, we're trying to talk a little bit about cars here. Give us a call.
Tell them about the
we did have Calvin. I told my teenage daughters they can have friends over, but it's BYOTP. bring your own toilet paper. So,
yeah. Man, who would have believed that we would ever even consider that?
I can see on a party invitation. BYOTP.
Yeah, bring your own booze and your own toilet paper.
That's right.
Maybe an extra roll for the host.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you really, you know, if you really feel like being a fine person, bring an extra roll for the host. In case somebody didn't bring theirs.
Yeah.
There may be gift cards coming out.
Oh, yeah.
For presents.
Oh, I've seen all kind of stuff.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Who would have thought, man?
Yeah.
We would be at this.
Yeah. Mm.
I guess everybody's just afraid that the people who make it are going to go home and we'll all run out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know,
everybody's getting afraid of everything. Thing, you know, even I'm a commandant in a local Marine Corps League detachment, mm-hmm. and we just got word from our powers to be from Washington D.C. to shut down our units for 30 days until we see what's going on and all. And then I have a news release here from the state mm-hmm. of Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs where. Department of Veterans Affairs, ADVA, will temporarily restrict public access to the state's county veteran service offices March 16th to April 6th.
Yeah.
It's a precautionary measure to the coronavirus, COVID-19 crisis. They're going to continue to operate the county veteran service offices with essential staff, but then I'm hearing like a lot of the law offices and all, they're cutting back to 40%, 50%, 60%. Then we have the restaurants that are, being advised to cut their staff back to 50% or whatever. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this washes out.
Yeah, I mean, even my wife's job, she's going to she's losing one day at work a week at work because she works in retail.
Sales,
she puts the displays out for Hallmark and that kind of stuff. So she's in Walmart about four times a week, but they've cut one day back to at least limit some exposure there.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean it's affecting everybody, and what's affecting it's going to affect a lot of the small companies and even large companies is the whole no school, no daycare situations,
Well,
so.
And Grandpa may not want to watch your. Grandpa may not want to watch
right,
your kids.
Right. So, but anyway, we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes. I purchased a 2005 Corvette about 6 months ago, 21,000 miles. And I've driven it quite a bit, and I've got about 31,000 miles on it now.
Yeah.
I replaced a shifter cable and a harmonic balancer. But other than that, it's been real solid. But what's your impression of this car? I'm hearing people, on social media, complain about the fuel pump going out and the associated costs. But so get your general opinion on this car.
We really don't see much problem with the fuel pump itself. We have more problems with the fuel tank, if that's going to be an issue. But the issues with the fuel pump is that where the gas tank is, you have to actually pull the whole drivetrain out of the back part of the car to get to the fuel tank. So, and honestly, the worst thing you can do is go online because all you hear are the people that are complaining.
Right.
So you get in there and you get 20 or 30 people, complaining about having to put a fuel pump in their car. You got to remember, that they built thousands or hundreds of thousands of these cars, that didn't have a problem. So, I get it all the time. People come in, everybody's having a problem with the transmission in this model or that model. It's like, well, how many of them did you read about? 20? It's like, you remember they built 2 million of these, right?
Right. There
you go. So, you just have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. We really don't see that much trouble with them, to be honest with you. I can't tell you the last time we put a pump in one.
I'm very surprised. It's been, I really like the cards, and whoever had it before me took care of it, just convertible,
right.
And everything's almost showroom condition. So
and honestly, the biggest problem we have, you've already fixed the two main problems that we see pretty regular, the balancer and the shift cable. But the biggest problem
is
some
of deterioration of age.
I don't know what it is with the shift cables. They just didn't seem to hold up that well. The balancer, it's taking a pretty heavy load. Because the way it's made, but it, for some reason the Corvette one seems to give more trouble than others. Excuse me. But the biggest issue we seem to be running into on the older, and I say older because it's not that old, but it is, you know, a 15-year-old car, is that availability of some parts is an issue, you know, because like trim pieces and that kind of stuff, we just can't get our hands on, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, just have to be careful. And, you know, if you see something starting to go bad, you better start looking for some pieces, you know, because sometimes you may have to go online and look or whatever, or some of the aftermarket companies may even have, you know, a solution or something, but, you know, that's not something we can do. But, you know, once GM pulls a plug on certain pieces, we're kind of done on that. So you just kind of have to stay on top of it yourself a little bit on that. But you know, they're pretty tough little cars. The motor transmission in those things are pretty bulletproof.
Yeah, I've had two Mustang GTs, two Challengers, had a Mercedes SL, lived in California. That was a nightmare of suspension.
Yeah.
But I've been happy with this car. I was gonna get your impression if I had any kind of any bugs in it, but I appreciate your feedback.
Okay. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening in. But, you know, honestly, that's a pretty solid little car. Yeah, the motor, the transmission, the rear end, see very little trouble out
they're
of
good
out
pieces.
Of those components.
Really, they are good pieces.
Yeah, the electronics aren't bad. Yeah, we don't have a bunch of electrical problems. You know, you get into key fobs and that kind of stuff, and every once in a while you'll get maybe an actuator for an AC actuator or something like that, but it's not very common.
But still, so, it's a 15-year-old used car.
Right. I mean, you know, things are going to, even though it's low mileage, you know, of course, the worst thing you can have is one that's never driven.
Right.
Yeah, but if they took it out on the weekends and drove it pretty regular, then that's probably the best case scenario. You know, take it out once a week or so and get it up to temperature, run around, play with it a little bit, and put it back in the garage, you know. Yeah, that's not too bad on them. But, you know, they're pretty solid cars.
Yep, I'd love to have one of them myself.
Yep. Let's see, we got Michelle online here and on our text line here. What do you think of the new Corvette that's coming out here shortly?
Woo!
It's actually released, and ours are built. They were in quality control, and they're supposed to be here shortly. But they are some neat vehicles. When our sales manager Brian just got back from Vegas with a big reveal on them, but we'll get into that when we get back after these messages.
Are they going to let you drive one of them around when they show up?
I'm sure I'll have to drive one of them at least. Some of our customers
find something wrong with one of them anyway.
You know, believe it or not, we do have some that, okay, I want you to take it off the truck, wash it, and deliver it. Yeah,
oh,
they don't even want you to drive them.
Because
some of those are going into
over 2 miles on it.
Right. Some of those are going in storage somewhere. Yeah. So, but we'll be back.
Too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. He got another one that just say, hey. Whatever Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Are your headphones not working?
They are coming and going.
Because you just talked all over the announcer, and now we're going to have to cut him another check.
Yeah, well, he'll have to get over it.
He'll get over it.
He'll get over it.
We have to.
I had nothing for headphones when we first come back, but I play with this and I can get them to work a little bit. So.
Okay. Well, you're the headphone doctor.
I have to talk to your engineer
now
about this one. So.
That makes you the headphone doctor.
Headphone doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor's in the house.
Let's see. We got one text here. Why can't GM make a lighting module for headlights? Never seen a pickup that didn't have a headlight out. main reason won't buy a GM. Yeah, you know, there's
might be where they drive them.
Yeah, you know, honestly, the newer ones are actually both headlights have their own module in them. Don't have a problem. We really haven't had a problem with them except for if someone hits them and breaks them and gets moisture in them, the
right
module can get moisture in it.
Right. Now, you know, pick up a rock or something off the road, follow the dump truck,
yep,
gravel
yep
truck.
And usually not even just a small chip. It's usually, you know, someone's knocked a hole in it, yeah. you know, and kept driving it and didn't want to have to buy that expensive headlight, which they're not cheap.
Nope.
By any
no.
means.
But, hey, buy one for a 04 town car.
Yeah.
You know, they're the same thing. You know, you got to buy the module. You only get it from the dealership.
Yeah.
Then you got to disassemble the front end of the car right. to get to it, you know, and pull the grill out just about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and GM is for years had used what we normally see that's out is the daytime run light. And it's really because the bulb has to run all the time. And they don't use the headlight bulb. They use the parking light bulb to run the daytime run lights. And it's it runs an awful lot. You know, it stays on, gets hot, and, you know, bulbs have a lifespan, you know. So, you know, and you also have to be careful how you put them in. And I've seen people get them halfway hooked up, not quite, so a connection issue, which creates heat, which, you know, does all kind of stuff. So, yeah. But, hey, it is what it is. So, sometimes it's just hard to, you know, every car is going to have their little quirks here and there. Yeah. Don't care what kind of vehicle it is.
Well, you know, it's from this gentleman, it may be common to him because, you know, he's had a problem with it, and also, therefore, he noticed it more than somebody else would. But, you know, that's...
He called you on your cell phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, somebody else did.
We can't put him on the air if he
No, and I was trying to tell him I am on the air. I will return my call shortly, but I hadn't got there yet.
Right. But anyway, back to vehicles and what's going on at the dealership. You know, it's amazing how much, even if we run out of, you know, mechanical repair, you know, from time to time, seems like we're always doing the oil change maintenance stuff. It's just a never-ending battle. Yeah.
But that is, you know, and we've talked about that before. This day and time, that's very important.
Right.
Because nobody else is looking under the hood. Nobody else is looking under the car.
Right.
And you guys are putting them up on a rack, and you're, you know, getting around them. Then you're checking all this stuff up under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a way to catch problems that the service station guy used to catch when he raised the hood to check the oil, you know?
Right. You know, that's the thing is very few people actually look at their oil level and their coolant level and that kind of stuff. Why pick up the hood? You're going to take it in and get it changed anyway. But, you know, most of the time when I see problems with a vehicle that's got a few miles on it, and I say few by, you know, 60, 70, 80,000 miles on it, you look back at the oil change records, if they happen to be done with us or if they happen to have the oil change records on the vehicle, they're stretching it a little beyond when the vehicle's telling you to change it, or even further than that. And oil is a cheap preventative. You know, it's cheap insurance.
Sure it is.
It comes down to it.
Yep.
These things, if you keep the oil change properly with the proper oil in them, we have very little trouble out of it.
Right.
Yeah. We've had issues with certain motors over the years with time and chains and even some oil consumption issues. But it's all related back to how often you change oil and what kind of oil you used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you use the right stuff and change it often, it's
just not
it's a good motor.
It's just not going to have those problems. The stuff is going around 250,000, 300,000 miles now.
Right. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Well, going once.
I guess
they decided not to speak.
Nope, I guess not.
Maybe they'll call back.
Yeah. Must have lost them. But Michelle was asking about the new Corvette that's on her way to our place. But you know, they're Brian went out there and rode and drove and touched and felt and, you know, went to class on and. It's got some really, really exciting stuff on the car. You know, they're and just the capabilities of this car versus the old one. One of the guys that was a Corvette guy, you know, one of the general managers that was out there doing the class with him, you know, he got out of the car and said he looked looked irritated and said, "What's your problem?" I said, "I'm mad. Why?" "Because I got to go buy a new Corvette now." So, you know, I've got a good one.
Yeah, they got him.
Yeah, they got me now. Yeah. So it's just a whole different car.
Let's try it again.
All right, let's call. You're on there.
I am. Can you hear me?
I got you now. Okay.
All right, good deal.
We do for you.
Almost want to throw a disclaimer out here. I went on and bought a Ford with the 6.04 model. I knew it had some issues that I was going to have to work out, but I got it for a really, really good deal.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you had it?
I would say about 5 weeks now.
Yeah, call me in about a year and tell me how good a deal it was. So, yeah, that's going to be the key thing. But what are you having to do to it now?
I get that a lot. A model that's got a miss in it. That's really not too much what I'm asking about. There has been something else developed. Drives good, runs strong. The miss is intermittent. So, and I'll continue to do some figuring about that.
Right.
My question is, when I shut it off, and I've heard other vehicles do this before in the past, and I've never taken the time to figure out what it is or ask anybody. Shut it off, and there's like and I wish I could describe the sound better. It sounds like something unwinding, but it's a deep roar or rumble or something like that. Lasts for maybe one full second, maybe two.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't even think it's associated with diesels only. This is the first diesel I've ever owned.
Right, right.
I don't know if that gives you a whole lot to work with. I don't know if it rings any bells.
Well, there's a couple things that can do it. On a diesel, you know, all those are turbocharged. The turbo is spinning at a high rate of speed, even sitting there at idle when you shut them down. So you're going to, you know, it's very likely that you'll hear the turbo spinning down. Shouldn't be rough sounding. I mean, it should make more of a whirring, you know, whistling type sound.
It's definitely not the whistle. I am familiar with the turbo whistle. And, right. You know, I can hear, you know, as you should to some degree.
Right.
This is much more of a rumble, a deeper, you know,
right, right.
That's about my best description, guys.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. I'm impressed.
Get an E for effort.
So, yeah, there you go. Is it a standard shift or automatic vehicle?
It's automatic.
It is automatic. Okay. There's an awful lot of things going on under the hood of those things. You know, a lot of them, they'll cycle the EGR valve and that kind of thing as they shut down. I would probably want to look and see if it's not something along the mechanical fan area. Because you've got, you know, most diesels still run a mechanical fan on them, even if they do have some kind of electric fan to boost things. It's kind of hard to keep up with what a diesel needs with you know, even a couple electric fans. They use a sure enough big heavy duty fan that's driven
like,
by the motor.
Those things make a lot of noise sometimes too,
and they make an awful lot of noise.
It could be a bare noise in that fan,
right? You know, the fan itself could. Go ahead.
Please, when I say this, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am far from a mechanic, but I would recognize a bearing noise.
Okay.
Fan.
Right.
And again, I'm 99% sure that I've heard this on other vehicles that weren't diesels.
Oh, so
that
weren't diesels. Okay.
Maybe EGR.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how EGR functions. It looks like a diaphragm in there to me.
The older ones. Yeah, the ones on the diesels and the newer vehicles, while they were still running them, was actually an electric solenoid type that actually moved it. And where the earlier ones that were vacuum controlled did have a diaphragm in them. But everything here, you know, in the last few several years have been all electronic, electric stepper motors. That do run, you know, it has an electric motor and it does make some noise. Our Duramax, when you shut it down, it sounds like it's got, you know, a robot moving and shuffling stuff around under the hood because of the EGR valves. But, you know, it cycles all that stuff to help move it and keep it from sticking. But, you know, if you don't think it's a turbo, you don't think it's fan, I would probably have to isolate an area where it's coming from. You know, you're going to have to kind of you know, do a little investigating.
You'll stick my ear under there when somebody shuts it off, huh?
And now I've had to do it. So, you know, you better trust the person that's doing it. But, yeah.
Make sure it's not a disgruntled lady friend or
right,
wife.
Right. Yeah, make sure they like you, okay? Yeah. So, yeah.
Aren't all lady friends disgruntled at some point?
We'll make sure they're not at that.
Hey, wait a minute. We're not going to go there.
Incriminating. Yeah. Incriminating.
Yeah, if they're listening, I'm sure they are now. But, I mean, it's, so, yeah. But, yeah, I would definitely
I'll plead the fifth right. Or something.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels or
something.
Apple Crown or whatever.
Yeah. But, anyway, just, you know, try and isolate at least an area, you know, that you can kind of isolate it to and, go from there, you know. But, that's about all you can do on that, you know.
Tell you what, I'll give you one more quick question. This could be yes or no, and I'll get off this phone. I know you got other people who want to hear you talk.
Okay.
As far as the fuel injection control module on this thing,
right.
I've educated myself on how to test it for the 45 to 48 volts that it's supposed to have.
Right.
Mine has it. Is there still any possibility that it could be bad, or is that just the end-all, be-all way to test that control module?
It could still be that, but more than likely you're going to have a an injector problem. They will come and go. How many miles are on it?
It's got about 160,000 now. So
yeah.
You know, but that again, I didn't want to get too much deeper into another question, but
yeah.
There is an injector problem, but it's not isolated to. It bounces from one injector to the other. That's why I keep looking at that fuel injection control module.
Right, right. And they're pretty bad about going out. I mean, I'm not going to say they're not. And the problem is it's an intermittent problem. So when you, if it's not acting up when you check it, then it's going to check good. Yeah. That's man. The issue with it, the intermittent problems. You know, it's got to be broke to catch it.
Yes, sir. I was under the hood listening to it and this while I was checking the voltage. But like I say, man, I don't want to take up too much of you guys' time. I know we can't fix this thing over the radio, but I appreciate all your knowledge very much.
No problem. But, you know, one thing you also have to remember about those is if it loses connection with that injector, so it could be something as simple as a connection problem to the injector. If it loses connection while it's running, a lot of times it'll shut that cylinder down because it doesn't want it coming and going. It's better off to just go ahead and make it miss than it is to let it come and go as you're running because that can cause mechanical issues. So,
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I would definitely go in and start checking all my connections and right there where the harness plugs up to the valve cover gasket, which is a little weird. It is a good trouble point, as well as some connections underneath the valve cover. But I would go there first. You know, look for connection issues before I went anywhere else.
All right, great guys. Listen, I really appreciate it. I always gain knowledge when I listen.
All right, and I appreciate you calling. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling for eight from Chicago to St. Louis.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, looks like we do have a caller on calling in.
They're tired of me running my mouth, which is okay.
That's okay, too.
That's okay.
Caller, are you with us?
Hey, guys. Jarhead.
Hey.
Hey, man. I was asking about you the other day. What are you doing now?
Still the same thing. Still kicking around in the same part of the country.
Are you in that warehouse out there?
Oh, yeah. Still turning wrenches.
Wait a minute now. Turning wrenches. I thought you were in a warehouse where they had parts.
I am, but I'm a maintenance tech now.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Well,
I fix all the stuff they tear up. But I know my time is limited, guys, so I'll make this quick.
What you going to die about?
Toyota Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
I just replaced the water pump and the thermostat.
Right.
I'm still getting a leak, and I believe it's coming from the coolant bypass.
Right.
But what's funny, Kevin, is I've never seen this before. You can run it. It does not leak. Once you cut it off, it will start leaking after a few minutes. And you can walk out and crank it back up for 30 seconds, let it run, cut it off, and it'll stop leaking. It's like it's siphoning the water out of the radiator. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Oh, no, not really. You know, it's, I don't know, that's a little strange for sure. And the only thing I can think of is you know, of course, look at your radiator cap, look at all the O-rings on it, and I see that fairly regular, is why I mention it. The main pressure O-ring is good, but the one where the bypass is, you know, for the return or the
overflow,
it may be torn or missing, you know, and it causes issues that way, but. You know, that's a little strange.
It acts like it's building pressure in the system after you shut it off, and that's kind of like a weak link there.
Right. And
where's it actually coming out at?
It's leaking from the gasket on the front of the bypass, the coolant bypass hose.
Right.
What I've read, they have said, is usually where the plastic and the metal comes together, but this actually looks like it's leaking from the gasket.
Right. Yeah, and you
and
know
it's going to be a son of a gun to change because you have to take the intake off just about to get to it.
Oh my lord!
Well, of course, It's never from the easy spot. You know that, but
no, of course not.
You know, and if we're talking about a plastic component, did you replace the plastic component when you did it, or just the gasket?
I haven't replaced anything on the coolant bypass yet. I replaced the water pump and the thermostat.
Right.
The water pump had been leaking because it had some calcium built up on the the weep hole. So I had it fixed, but no, apparently not. But I just wondered if you guys had ever seen anything like that.
Well, and you know, I don't deal with the Toyotas that much, but the one thing I do see is we have a lot of the plastic components, and when they get some age on them, what happens is that it'll actually start to warp that plastic some, so you need to lay a straight edge across it, or just take a file and run across it and see where it touches it. You know, because it may look fine, but when you look close at it, it's not flat. So you know, on the edges, it on the ends where the bolt are, it'll be bolted down tight, but in the middle, it's not. You know,
So
you just got to look closely at that, you know, and we see that fairly regular on a lot of little motors that use, you know, the plastic components in the cooling system, you know.
All right. Thanks, guys, and continue to listen, and y'all have a great evening.
All right.
Don't you have my phone number?
Yes, I do.
Call me sometime tomorrow. I'll talk to you.
Okay. Will do, Tom.
Good to hear from you, babe. Glad to know you're all right.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you calling in.
Haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah.
Good to know we're still around.
Oh, yeah. I ran into a guy the other day that says he's worked at that, I think the same warehouse, so that's what I want to find out. He said, oh, no, I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
I said, okay. But, you know, that was like 2 days ago. I was talking to the guy. Now here he calls in tonight. So thank you. The Lord sent a message to Jarhead to call in.
Right. There you go. But anyway, I just want to stop and get all of our listeners to you know, watch out for themselves, you know, listening to what everybody's telling you, the don't fall prey to, you know, predatory, you know, people trying to take advantage of your fears. Be smart about what you're doing, and you know, remember, don't give your information out. Don't pay exorbitant prices for things, because they will, the government will step in and take care of that. A lot of these people that are trying to price gouge, apparently they've never lived around a hurricane prone area, because the people around here understand that
you
can't
do
that.
And they have laws against that.
Right.
You know,
and
so
they take those laws seriously.
Cut your boss up. We'll break them from sucking eggs.
Right. I did get a kick out of the two, I think it was two brothers that bought up a bunch of hand sanitizer and wipes and all that kind of stuff, and they got in there and they shut them down, and they ended up donating 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. I'm sure that was a guys, y'all can either do the right thing and donate this stuff, or we'll
you're not selling it.
You're
my
not
friend.
Gonna sell it at this point. So yeah. I hope you made money off the first little bit you sold. So I was proud to see that, no doubt. But
and you know, support your local restaurants. If they can't serve you in a normal way, maybe you can get to-go orders.
Yeah,
because that's an area of business that's going to suffer mightily. Probably already is.
And if you're going to do takeout, you know, don't forget to tip, because you're still got
those people still, you know,
cooks and people trying to, you know, get that stuff together
trying
for
to make
you.
A living.
Right.
Well, that's the people that's going to get hurt. It's the people that's actually working for the living there that's doing the service and preparing the food and all. But and for all of our veterans and first responders out there, we'd like to say a big old hoorah. All of you, we appreciate all of that you've done. Don't forget, Ed's Seafood Shed will give you guys 15% off of your bill as long as you identify yourself and let them know, or you have a VA or a first responder type badge of some sort that would indicate that you are one and you're not just running your jaw.
Yeah.
So, you know, work with those
that's
people.
That's somebody we needed to hear from tonight, or at least get them in next weekend.
Well,
next
they don't know what they don't know where they're at and what they got to say. They don't know they don't know what the cities are going to do and all. So yeah, I talked to them earlier.
At least by next week they all.
Yeah, we don't really
then,
know.
So.
What's
and
going
get
on.
Out and see Kevin at UJ Chevrolet and get that oil changed.
There you go. Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening to Car Doctor Show. We'll be back next week.